Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? It's Monday, December 9th. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. How'd it go for you? Hopefully you don't need much tonight, but man, there are a lot of fantasy viable players in this game tonight. But ideally, everything broke your way, and that's why you're still listening to this podcast. Friendly reminder, I'm going to keep going in the offseason. Like, this isn't going away, and there's so much to talk about. Even when we get into like the playoffs, because we'll do fantasy postseason fantasy football content. So if you're in leagues that are based on the playoffs, I got you, man. We're just going to keep going from there. But we're about to hit the fantasy football playoffs. Week 15 coming at us. So let's tie a bow on week 14, with the exception of Monday Night Football. Of course, ftnfantasy.com is the website. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. But I want to start with, well, maybe the least impactful game of the entire slate. That, of course, being Jacksonville and Tennessee. Somehow Jacksonville winning this one. I mean, this is a classic game where, well, somebody had to win. I mean, I guess it could have been a tie, but that somebody was the McCorkle Jones-led Jacksonville Jaguars. Yeah, Mac Jones, the quarterback, and he really didn't do anything to win this game. I'm not going to give it to him. But yeah, the Jags won 10-6. And that tells you about what you need to know for fantasy. I mean, Tank Bigsby at least scored a touchdown, 18 carries, only 55 yards. Nothing was doing in the passing game except Brian Thomas. So, I mean, he's had a hell of a rookie season, 8 for 86 for him. And even on the other side, I mean, Pollard was fine, 21 for 102, caught two balls for 22 yards. So decent PPR day. But other than Ridley, nothing was doing. And Ridley, I mean, this is a midpoint game for Ridley. I keep talking about why that's important. I know it's not great for fantasy, but I would rather have guys with midpoints as opposed to just boom or bust, right? And Ridley recently has only been boom or bust. Either he goes off or he puts up two fantasy points. This was 12.9 in PPR, which honestly, I'll take a midpoint. You know, you'll take that as opposed to a complete bust of a game. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, hopefully people are seeing what I mean here. It's just, he has 21 catches on the season. 8 of them are for touchdowns. It's touchdown chasing. He didn't see the volume in this one. He's going to be really tough to rely on down the stretch. All right, moving on to the next contest. Jets-Miami Dolphins. Aaron Rodgers finally topping 300 yards. Good on him for that. 339 and a passing score. This is the first time he's gone over 300 passing yards since December 12th of 2021. That was over 1,000 days ago. 1,092 to be precise. But he was dealing it to Garrett Wilson. He was dealing it to Davante Adams. Both go over 100. Adams has the score. He goes 9 for 109, 7 for 114 for Wilson. All of it was good. Now, if you happen to start Braylon Allen, I mean, I guess you got bailed out by 4 for 38 as a pass catcher. But it was a lot closer than a lot of people realize with Isaiah Davis. And I did have Davis as a fringe flex option. Davis scored the touchdown, 10 for 40. Davis also caught three balls for 27 yards. Actually had more targets than Allen. From a participation standpoint, yikes. Allen, 35 snaps. Davis, 33. That is your old true 50-50 right there. And I wouldn't expect it to change if Breece Hall misses more time. To the other side, Tua is still dealing. Achan, even though he only had 14 for 24, he scored a touchdown and caught 6 for 45. So all is right with the world. Hill goes off. Waddle goes off, which is good. But Jonnu Smith, a classic. Now, I keep saying it's a 60-minute game. Well, for him, he needed overtime. But let's say we got to wait for the full game to be completed because he had nothing going into overtime. And then on that overtime drive to win the game, he had 3 for 44 and a touchdown. So he got you an entire week of fantasy production in OT, and I think we'll all take that. For the Jets, eliminated from playoff contention, 14th straight season. Moving on to Atlanta and Minnesota. Wow, a tale of two teams entirely here. Starting on the Atlanta side, Kirk Cousins is fading fast. 8 interceptions over his last 4 games. The Falcons have lost all 4 of them. They went from a 6-3 team that seemed to be steamrolling their way to an NFC South title to now a 6-7 team who is 1 game behind Tampa. Uh-oh. Now, he did target Drake London 10 times, 5 for 70. Again, a midpoint game. Mooney had a big one, 6 for 142, and Ray Ray McLeod, 8 for 98. Now, McLeod, I don't think is sustainable, though, given their schedule. They need to play from behind for him to get involved. They're facing the Raiders, the Giants in their next two, maybe against Washington in week 17, but I really doubt even this team, as much as they're fading, that they're going to play from behind there. They have a pretty nice schedule. Bijan was fine here, by the way. On the other side, the Sam Chais, 347 and 5. Wow. First time we've seen 5+ passing touchdowns out of a Vikings quarterback since Dante Culpepper. And I have such fond fantasy memories of Dante Culpepper back in 2004. Huge for Sam Darnold. Huge. Justin Jefferson off the schneid. First time he scored a touchdown in 6 games. And he scored 2 of them, 7 for 132 and 2. But Jordan Addison actually stole the show, 8 for 133 and 3. He is very streaky. We know that. He is very boom or bust. Hopefully you are aware of that. Don't expect this every single week, but we know what the ceiling is, and it's beautiful. Oh, it is glorious. They combined for a massive performance between the two of them. Hockenson was okay, 4 for 45, and Aaron Jones, 13 for 73 and a touchdown. Even after the fumble concerns, not a big deal, not a big issue. New Orleans and the Giants. Okay, so on the New Orleans side, it looks like they probably lost Derek Carr for the season. It is being called a fracture in his hand, non-throwing hand, and he could potentially also be in concussion protocol. Now, if he doesn't start going forward, I honestly don't know if they're going to go with Jake Haener or if they go with Spencer Rattler. Haener came into this game, but I'd have to check to see if Rattler even dressed anyway, or if he was emergency third. I don't know what they do. But we'll probably hear in advance of waivers tomorrow for deep superflex leagues. Hopefully you don't have to go that far, though. Kamara has not scored. I mean, this is 7 straight games he hasn't scored a touchdown, and yet Kendre Miller did. Now, Kendre Miller was in the doghouse with Dennis Allen. Apparently he is not in the doghouse with Darren Rizzi, and so he's going to play a backup role. Now, I know when you look at it, 10 carries looks like he played a big role in this game. He only played 17 snaps. Kamara played 46. So it isn't that big of a role. A little bit of fool's gold there, but he's worth adding if you have Kamara. Juwan Johnson, solid performance. He'll be a streamer. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, better than Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, but still not that great. 4 for 51. It's tough because the quarterback situation takes a major hit without Carr. And so Valdes-Scantling is going to have some value as a top pass catcher, but I don't love it. To the other side, Ty Tracy, 16 for 45, no thanks, but a touchdown, yes, please, and then 5 catches on 10 targets for 38 yards. All right, I'll take all that. And Malik Nabers ended up playing the full game. 5 for 79 isn't amazing, but we were afraid he wasn't going to play at all or he was going to have a limited role. He ended up having a full-time role, you know. Much ado about nothing with that one. All right, let's – oh, and by the way, the Mets – have more wins in the last 2 months than the Jets and the Giants combined. The Mets have 4. The Jets and the Giants have 1 since the beginning of October. Wow. Sorry, New York fans. Carolina, Philly. The Eagles, 9 straight wins. Last time they did that, they won the Super Bowl in 2017. But this one was a little too close for comfort. Only a 22-16 win. I thought Bryce Young continued to look good, even though, sure, he only had 191 passing yards, you know, 56% completion rate. But this is a very tough defense. He went out there and he made some nice third down conversions in this one and really kept the team in the game. And of course, you know, you have Adam Thielen really rolling, 9 for 102. Now, what I like about Thielen, I don't like older wide receivers at this time of the year, but what I like about Thielen is he missed 2 months. So, in terms of like his expiration date this season, like he's technically in October, really, because he missed all of that time. So he's in October form, not December form, which is actually working to his benefit. He was a monster in this game. And so was Chuba Hubbard. Chuba Hubbard putting up a 1,000-yard season, the first time the Panthers have had one since 2019 when Christian McCaffrey did so. He's the 6th player in franchise history to post a 1,000-yard rushing performance in a given season. On the other side, Saquon already topped 1,000 a long time ago, but now he also topped LeSean McCoy's single season record for the Eagles. 1607 was what McCoy had in 2013. Saquon is already at 1623, and he is on pace for 2,121 rushing yards. That's impressive. 9 games with 100 rushing yards on the season. That's already an Eagles record. He could pad that. Of course, it wasn't the best fantasy performance. A good football performance is not the best fantasy performance because he didn't catch any balls out of the backfield and he didn't score a touchdown. So he only got you 12.4 points, but I think he'll take that given what his ceiling looks like. Smith in the end zone, Calcaterra in the end zone, only 3 for 16, but a decent streamer. So Hurts ended up with the 2 passing scores, only 108 passing yards, but then he ran for 59 and scored a rushing touchdown. So he ended up being just fine. It was a down game for AJ Brown, but you're not going to keep him down every week. Upcoming for the Eagles, they have a tough one against Pittsburgh, but then they get to face Washington and Dallas. 2 favorable matchups in terms of offense versus defense in those contests. Oh boy. Before I move on, Jonathan Brooks tore his ACL. Ugh. I mean, this is the news just came out. God, this guy can't catch a break. That is awful news. Given when this is happening, he's probably going to miss all next season. I don't know. That just totally sucks. There are certain aspects to this game that just suck the life out of you. I feel bad for the kid. Can't catch a break. Second time in basically 13 months that he tore his right ACL. Ordinarily, too, that's pretty rare. A lot of times they say the ACL is even, it's even stronger after you repair it based on how they repair it. But man, that's awful. So Chuba Hubbard, there you go. All right, let's cheer things up. Let's move on to the next game, Cleveland and Pittsburgh. Oh, Jesus, this is going to take a while for me to get over. And I have no vested interest in Jonathan Brooks for fantasy. I like to see these kids get out there and play, and just sucks. All right, well, so Pittsburgh got their revenge after losing to Cleveland in the snow. They won this one fairly handily. Russell Wilson threw 2 touchdown passes. 1 to Freiermuth, which was a nice looking, seam touchdown. Love that. And then Van Jefferson got in the end zone. Of course, the big surprise was no Pickens. I don't know if he plays this week. Mike Williams will be at least interesting in deeper leagues to add. Najee had another, Najee game. Not sexy, but he scored a touchdown, 53 rushing yards, got the double-digit fantasy points. To the other side, Judy continued to roll, even though it wasn't a monster performance. 5 for 64 and a touchdown. Njoku got in the end zone as well. 7 for 42 for him. Jameis was Jameis. I mean, he threw 2 interceptions here, 2 passing scores. It wasn't phenomenal, but it wasn't terrible either. He's going to be at least moderately interesting against the Chiefs. I don't like the matchup, but I do think he's going to have to throw a lot. And we know even if he throws 3 interceptions, he still could be a decent enough fantasy option if he throws it enough times. Also, I'm kind of moderately intrigued in deep leagues if I needed a flex play by Jerome Ford in that one. Because they would expect to play from behind a lot, Ford could get more run than Nick Chubb since he is the passing down back. It's a lost season for Nick Chubb. Raiders, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So the Raiders look like they probably lost Aiden O'Connell, which means they probably have the first overall pick, which means they probably will take Shador Sanders. Desmond Ridder will be the starter the rest of the way. That isn't great for, Bowers, Myers, but I don't think it's terrible that he's still going to throw the ball around the yard a little bit. The thing I'm most interested here is whether or not they decide to just use Sincere McCormick the rest of the way. He's not bad. 15 for 78. 2 for 11. Like, those numbers, I mean, they're not amazing, but I was in a situation like I had Pickens, everybody else was on bye. I had to get a starter in there this week. And it's a little bit of a deeper league, but I picked up McCormick last minute after the Pickens news came out, and I used him. He got double digit fantasy points in that league. And it will likely be enough to hang on for a win like that. I'm not winning the week because of him, but I'm certainly not losing the week because of him either. To the other side, so Bucky Irving's banged up again. It looks like it's the same injury, but he exited the game fairly quickly. He may not be able to play through this next week. Of course, Sean Tucker would slide into the number 2 role like he did in this game, but I'd expect a lot of Rashad White. Rashad White looked great in this one. Scored as a runner, scored as a pass catcher, had nearly 20 touches, had 19 on the game. Jalen McMillan scored twice on 4 catches. Now, it's nice that he's taking a step forward. It looks like things are starting to click for him, but I'm not going to go too overboard and chase the touchdowns. Like, he had fewer yards than Sterling Shepard. He has as many receptions as Sterling Shepard. He had 10 fewer yards than Mike Evans, although it wasn't a great performance for Evans, but it's okay. He had 69 nice receiving yards in this one. Was his over under? Oh, no, it was 72 and a half. I was going to say, was it 68 and a half? Anyway, Kate Otten with 70 in this one as well. The big one, we'll keep an eye on Bucky Irving. Moving over to Seattle and Arizona. Seattle, they beat him twice in 3 weeks. Nice performance. Helps when you have a guy like Zach Charbonnet as your backup. Is it just me or is he, I mean, part of it is he's fresh at this time of year, but doesn't he look a little bit better than Kenneth Walker right now? Walker's been banged up for most of the season. If you're Seattle, what do you do? Now, I don't know how they navigate these waters if Walker is in fact back for this week. Early reports suggest he could be, but Charbonnet just put up 22 for 134 and two. And oh yeah, ho-hum, I'll just chip in a little bit in the passing game. 7 for 59. Are you kidding me? At 29 touches. Kenneth Walker doesn't do that. So I don't know what they do, but Charbonnet is still available in half of leagues. He has to be rostered, even if he isn't the starter this week. We now know what the potential, like, he started in 3 games. He scored 5 touchdowns in those 3 games this season. Jaxon Smith-Njigba continued to roll, 5 for 82 and a touchdown. Love the way he's playing. And then, you know, Metcalf, 4 for 49, wasn't great, but it could have been worse. It could have been Tyler Lockett. Nothing for him. Trey McBride shows us why it's a 60-minute game, because for a good chunk of the game, he wasn't doing much. And then he sucked up a bunch of receptions down the stretch, 7 for 70 when it's all said and done. I'll take it. But really, this was James Conner, 18 for 90, and then scored as a pass catcher, 4 for 32 as a pass catcher as well. All of that's rock solid. He was not happy about his performance against Seattle 2 weeks ago. He bounces back in a big way here. Maserati Marv, 4 for 49. He's boom or bust. We know that. He did have 8 targets, though, which is a good number for him, at least encouraging. Buffalo and the Rams, one of the games of the year from a scoring standpoint. This was a bonanza. If the Bills didn't call a sneak there at the end of the game, maybe it's a different outcome for Buffalo. But, you know, credit where credit's due to the Rams. Credit where credit's due to Stafford. 320 and 2. He had some beautiful throws in this game. Puka Nacua, though, I mean, he was the recipient of a number of them, but he was also making beautiful catches. 12 for 162 and a touchdown. Also ran 5 times for 16 yards and a touchdown. This was, not statistically, but football-wise, this was maybe the best wide receiver performance of the season. It was a work of art. I mean, you know, it was just something else. I loved every bit of it from Puka Nacua. Cooper Kupp still getting in the end zone. 5 for 92, not bad as a number two receiver there. And then Kyren, massive day in terms of volume. He ended up with 29 carries, 2 catches, so 31 touches on the game. Doesn't top 100 scrimmage yards, though. However, who cares? He scored 2 touchdowns. Who cares? Now, to the other side, Josh Allen continues to be Superman. He threw for 342 and 3. He ran for 82 and 3. I mean, it was the greatest quarterback performance in fantasy football history. If you, and that's, well, going back to 1950, we don't know what happened before then, but this is like auto Graham levels of production. In fact, the second player all time with 3 passing touchdowns and three or more passing touchdowns, 3 or more rushing touchdowns in a game. Auto Graham did it in the 1954 NFL championship when everybody was playing him in DFS. No, fantasy football was like, what, 20 plus years away from even being dreamt up. That's incredible stuff there from Josh Allen. Shakir, big game, 5 for 106. Matt Collins getting in the end zone. Ty Johnson getting in the end zone. And heck, Amari Cooper doesn't score a touchdown, but 6 for 95, 14 targets. He led the team in targets. That's very, very encouraging. The arrow's pointing up there. Chicago, San Francisco, so not the best game for the Chicago offense. In fact, one of the worst first halves. And they seem to just do this. They suck in the first half. Now, second half wasn't bad. Caleb ends up with 134 and 2. He had entered this game with the longest rookie streak without an interception in NFL history. Well, he extended that 23 more passing attempts because no picks here. They were flat, but they weren't, like, it wasn't bad out of him. They just were flat in the first half. Now, Adunze gets both of the touchdowns. We know he's a bit more boom or bust than anything, but still, I like that. Keenan Allen, meh. DJ Moore had 6 for 49. It's not great, but at least he got you to double digits. He did lead the team with 8 targets. DeAndre Swift was flat in this one as well. despite no Roschon Johnson. Now to the other side. All right, so Isaac Guerrero left this game with a foot injury, and he was having himself a day. We didn't know what to fully expect out of Guerrero, and unfortunately, we don't know now what to expect going forward. I'm taking a quick peek. I don't see any news just yet on Guerrero. Oh, no. Okay, his exit was precautionary. Okay. Now, we don't know what his availability is going to be this week because obviously they have a short week, but we'll see. I'm going to adjust the waiver tool to reflect the latest information here. Of course, we do also have info out there about Bucky Irving, who I just talked about. It says that he is almost certainly not going to be available this week, essentially. All right. Guerrero was great. I mean, Patrick Taylor will get the run if it's not Guerrero, so he's still going to be a priority pickup. But Guerrero, the matchup, everything was working for the 49ers. This was every bit of the 49ers that we thought we were going to see for most of the season and haven't. Now they have to face the Rams coming up next. However, the Rams just gave up a ton of points. So maybe a little bit of a barn burner there on Thursday night, hopefully. Purdy, 325-2, both of them going to Juwan Jennings, who has emerged as their alpha receiver. It's him and Kittle, and then everybody else is an afterthought, and unfortunately that includes Deebo Samuel. Samuel could still go off any given week, but I don't want to trust it as anything more than like a wide receiver three. Like, that's where he is now, unfortunately. So that's where we are with that. We'll keep an eye on Guerrero's practice status. We should actually have an estimated practice report for today. I'm sure it'll be a DNP. If it's limited, that's even better. But then tomorrow's practice report will give us an indication of what we're expecting this week. If he starts the week back-to-back DNPs, that's where it doesn't look that great for Thursday night. So we'll keep an eye on that. All right, last game on the list, Chargers, Chiefs. Chiefs winning 19-17. Game-winning drive from Mahomes. That's what he does. They're winning games with their defense. That's what they do in this era of the Andy Reid Kansas City Chiefs. But at least you did have Hopkins get in the end zone. Only 4 for 32, but the touchdown makes a difference. 5 for 45 for Kelsey. That's kind of his floor right now. I don't mind that. As far as the backfield is concerned, so they used all four running backs. I don't know if we're ever going to get a full workload for Pacheco down the stretch because, again, postseason aspirations, they need that dude. So they let him play 31 snaps, Kareem Hunt 20, Samaje Perine 14, Carson Steele 6. Pacheco will at least be a fringe RB2, if not like a flex play. Like, the days of playing Kareem Hunt as a flex, I think, are in the rearview mirror for the stretch run. You keep him on rosters because if Pacheco goes down again, you have a bit of a problem. And, you know, that could certainly happen. So keep that one in mind. Otherwise, moving to the other side, Gus got in the end zone, but he's a low upside flex play. You had Ladd McConkey not play. We knew we were 50-50. You never know with those types of things. I've seen plenty of 50-50 where the guy actually plays. I've seen, you know, situations like Malik Nabers where they say, oh, he's going to be limited, and he's not, you know. And then you have situations like Ladd McConkey. Quentin Johnston, kind of memory of a goldfish, I guess. He goes out 5 for 48 and a touchdown. He actually looked pretty decent in this one. Herbert throwing the ball to him a good bit. 7 targets for him, but Palmer led the way with 9 targets, caught 6 for 78. Stone Smart is interesting. If Will Disley misses time, Stone Smart looked pretty good out there. Like, the broadcast team was like really hamming it up, but 3 for 54 on 3 targets was not bad whatsoever out of him. So we'll keep an eye on him as maybe a little bit of a deeper streamer. There has been plenty of tight end value on that squad this season. What, you know, mostly it's been Disley, but we'll see what happens. All right, that's going to wrap it up for today. So tomorrow I'll come back. We'll give you the top 10 waiver ads. We'll recap Monday Night Football and any of the injury news. And we do have a good bit to get to. So I would expect updates on Guerrero, Pickens, Bucky Irving, like all of those tomorrow on the podcast. In the meantime, FTNFantasy.com. Go check it out. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Follow me on Twitter/X at Jeff Ratcliffe, on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe, and on Blue Sky at Jeff Ratcliffe. And I'll catch you on the flip for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.